Thanks so much for joining us for this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. Since 1937, this program's purpose has been to send forth the light of the gospel. I trust the program will be a blessing, and you will enjoy this broadcast of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance.
Then he'll look at me and say, well done. Welcome home, my faithful child. And as I stand before his throne, the trials I have known, they will all be worthwhile.
Amen.
Good morning and welcome to this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. That song is a very poignant reminder that we are living in the last days and we need to be ready for the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And if you listened last week, you know that the sermon that my dad preached is very sobering, a very strong evangelistic message. What shall I do when God riseth up? And we're going to complete the message today on the program. If you have a loved one that's not saved, you might want to try and get them to tune in or go to our website and listen to the sermon in its entirety. And you can go to lomanministries.org and click on the media page to do that. Also, I would just let you know that this is kind of an unusual weekend in that we end the month on Saturday and begin the month of June on Sunday. So that means some extra expense for radio time. So if you would just take a few minutes to pray about helping us out, it would mean so much. You can write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201, or you can go to our website, lomanministries.org, and give through the Venmo or the PayPal tabs there. Well, this week I'm going to be in revival meetings at Cana, Virginia, at the Epworth Wesleyan Church. That's June 1 through 4. And then June 7 to 14, I'll travel to Douglas, Georgia, to the Gaskin Springs Holiness Camp meeting. And then June 20 through 22, that's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, Stoneville, North Carolina, at Joyce Chapel Presbyterian Church. And then the last weekend of the month of June, I'll travel to West Chazy, New York, to the West Chazy Holiness Camp meeting. That's June 29 to July the 4th. So I covet your prayers as I travel and preach in these camp meetings and revival settings. Heavenly Father, what a joy it is to preach the gospel through the medium of radio. And the purpose of this program throughout its entire history has been to try and reach the lost before it's everlastingly too late. And I pray the message would touch some heart today. I pray that you'd supply the need for the radio program you always have, and we're grateful. We ask all of this, and we do pray for those who are sick and shut in. Touch them, we pray. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't forget to write to me. The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Steve.
calling, oh sinner, come home. He's calling, oh sinner, come home.
But my friends, I don't have to go to North Carolina to find people that don't like to hear a preacher preach on death, hell, the judgment, and the second coming. I'm preaching to church people in this great audience tonight. Don't mean to be unkind, but you don't like really the preacher that'll tell you that you're going to die one of these days, that you're going to come to the end of what we call physical existence here on this earth. You don't like for a preacher to preach about the agonizing black nights of the damned, the regions of outer darkness where there's going to be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And you don't like to be reminded that one of these days the blessed Son of God is going to step down on the clouds of the morning and catch away his waiting bride. And unless you're under the blood, and unless you know what it is to have the Holy Spirit abiding within, you're going to miss it just as sure as you're sitting in divine presence tonight. And I might just as add right at this point, you're not going to make it, mister or kind lady, because you're who you are, but you're going to make it because of what you are. And the only thing that'll make the change will be the atoning blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and knowing what it means to be redeemed, to be set free, to be delivered from the condemnation of sin. But it's not only a proposition based upon the attribute of his omnipotence, his omnipresence, and his omniscience, but it is a proposition based upon the attribute of divine integrity. You can't prevent him from rising up. When he rises up, you can't escape him. When you stand there, you can't deceive him. But my friends, when you stand in his presence, you'll not be able to bribe him. In this light, some people buy their way out of trouble. Some people, beloved, can maneuver because they're who they are, and because of their station in life, they've been able to escape some of the things that they've been guilty of in this life. Sometimes you see a dastardly crime that's been committed that takes the headline of the newspaper. There are prominent names that appear in the circles of that story. Ladies and gentlemen, it isn't long till you wonder why there was never a report of the disposition of that case. I'll tell you why. In this life, some people buy their way off because of their position, because of their standing in the eyes of political and social areas. They've been able, beloved, to slide out, beloved, from under the particular indictment that's been made. But you hear me, friend, tonight, there's going to come a judgment one of these days where men and women will not be able to buy their way out. You will not be able to bribe him in that day. Look at those words over the throne. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Mark it well, friends, tonight. Justice is oft times outraged on this earth. Judgment is brought in soul, but not soul. In that day of judgment, not be able to bribe him. That first question, what am I going to do? When God riseth up, the second question is, what am I going to answer him? What am I going to say when he calls me to his judgment? Do you ever read that story in the New Testament about a king that made a feast, and he invited in the people, and according to custom, everyone that came to the wedding feast, they gave them a wedding garment? But here comes a man, and I see him as he walks up to the door, and they offer him the wedding garment. And I hear him say, I don't need that. You don't realize who I am. I serve on the board at the First Church. And I'm on the board down at the bank, and I own property in this city, and I'm an outstanding citizen. I don't need that. And he brushed by without the wedding garment. Now you hear me, friend. The book says, and when the king came, don't you ever forget it, the king's coming. He's coming. And when the king came, he found one not having on the wedding garments. And he said to him, why camest thou in hither without the wedding garment? And the book says he was speechless. And the king said, bind him hand and foot. You see, his church membership didn't make any difference now. His social prestige and his political position didn't matter now, but the king said, bind him hand and foot. And cast him into outer darkness, where there's going to be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Let me ask you, friend, what are you going to answer? Every time I read that passage of scripture over there that says, to whom much is given, much is going to be required, it almost makes my blood run cold to think of the countless multitudes of church people, deacons and stewards and Sunday school teachers and choir members and leaders in the church. Don't know what it is to have an encounter with Jesus. Don't remember how long it's been since you had a spiritual uplift in your soul. Beloved, seem to use your church as a crutch to get by on in this life. I'm going to tell you, tomorrow's missionary day, and we've got missionaries standing back there, sitting back there, that I respect to the nth degree, but I'd rather be in the shoes of the darkest man in Africa that never heard one gospel sermon than to be in the shoes of some of you folks sitting here tonight that's heard enough gospel to save the world. And to whom much is given, much is going to be required. What are you going to answer him? What kind of an excuse are you going to have? Who are you going to blame? What are you going to use for getting our place then? Writer says in the 9th chapter of Hebrews, it's appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. And every person in this congregation tonight, preacher and layman alike, one day is going to face some kind of a judgment. I had a pastor once, and I'm going to soon close. I'm not through. But I had a pastor once that I had no confidence in. He was the most foul-mouthed man I ever heard. No difficulty for him to belch out filth and tell a dirty story. And I got sick of it. And I was glad the day they moved him from our church. Years passed. I was attending the annual conference in Greensboro, North Carolina, one day, and they were waiting for a report from the committee, one of the committees, and I saw this former pastor of mine get up and walk across the platform and ask the bishop for permission to say something. I started to get up and leave, but I'm glad I stayed, for what I heard thrilled me. The bishop granted him permission, and he stood at the podium, and he said to that great conference body, he said, folks, something happened to me the other morning that I've got to relate to you that's changed my life. My phone rang. 6 o'clock in the morning, pouring rain. And a young lady said, pastor, I've got to see you at once. He said, I told her to go to the study. I'd come as soon as I could. I got up and dressed, went to the study. She was standing outside under her umbrella. I invited her in, set her down next to my desk. And I said, young lady, what brings you here this hour of the morning? She said, I hated to bother you this early, but I didn't want you to get involved in other things before I had a chance to see you today. I got a letter I want you to read. He said, she handed me that letter, and I took the letter, and this is what it said. Dear sis, I'm in a foxhole on Guadalcanal. The fighting is at a lull right now, but some of my best buddies died this morning, and their blood stained the soil around my foxhole. And while everything's so quiet, I've been thinking about you and about Mom and Dad and about our church. Sis, Have you prayed for me since I've been gone to war? Do you and Mom and Dad still have family devotions together, like we did when we were all home together? And sis, what kind of a preacher do we have? Does he preach the truth? Have you had revival lately in the church? And he said, when I finished reading that letter, I turned to her rather sarcastically, and that was the kind of man he was. He said, what do you want me to do about it? She said, Pastor, I got that letter from my brother yesterday. It didn't get to me, but I read it again after my date last night. And she said, when he said, have you prayed for me since I've been gone? I knew I hadn't been in a position to pray for him because I'd been backslidden so long. But she said, I went in my room after midnight, and I got on my knees, and I wept my way back to Calvary. I went in the room and awoke my dad and my mother, and I read the letter to them. And I said, Mom and Dad, both of you know that we haven't taken time to have family devotions, to my knowledge, since he's been gone. And she said, Pastor, my mother and daddy rolled out of bed after 1 o'clock this morning and wept their way back to Calvary. I'm ready to answer that letter now for me and for my mother and father. And I want to know, what do you want me to tell my brother about you? And that preacher stood there, and tears streamed down across his face. For the first time, he said, in 20 years, I realized I'd been a traitor. I'd been a traitor. He said, I got up out of my desk chair, and I said, little lady, just a minute. And he said, I went over and got out on my knees in the corner of my study, and I cried out, oh God, could you come back to the heart of the backslidden preacher and give me the joy of the Lord and restore the peace that I one time had? And he said to that conference body, God met my need. And I said, little lady, write, answer the letter to your brother. Tell him that he hadn't had much of a preacher before, but from this morning on, he's going to have a preacher that'll be faithful to the cause of Christ and will stand in the gap. Listen, friend, I'm preaching to men and women and maybe some pastors tonight that haven't taken time to give proper consideration. One of these days, you and I are going to have to stand before him. What am I going to do when God riseth up? When he visiteth, what am I going to answer him? My last pastorate, and I'm through with this. We had a unified service once a month, and I preached to the entire Sunday school. One Sunday morning, brought my message. Several people at the altar, young lady knelt here, and a mother knelt next to her. And every one of them found victory. But that mother stood up and she said, Mr. Lohman, let me say a word. She said, I've been in the church all my life. She said, my daughter found victory here this morning, but I got some boys that's lost. And I'm to blame. My attitude at home hasn't been Christian. My influence hasn't been what it ought to have been around my boys. And the message got to me this morning. And she said, sitting here in this seat, I made up my mind I wasn't going home till I got it settled. She said, God met my need this morning. We rejoiced together. I had dinner with my family in the parsonage, and at 1:45, sitting in my study, my phone rang. And a young man said, Preacher Lohman, please, as soon as you can get there, go to the emergency room at the hospital. I went as quickly as I could. And I was there when the ambulance backed up to the loading platform and two attendants rolled a cop out with a sheet covering a silent form, and I followed them into the emergency room. And I pulled the sheet back. And there lying on that cot, silent in death, was that mother that knelt at my altar less than 3 hours before, that said I had made up my mind I wasn't going home till I got it settled. Friend, have you got anything that needs to be settled tonight? Have you got anything that's on your record that hasn't been covered by the blood? Is any question marks, any doubts? I ask you, as Job cried out, what am I going to do when God riseth up and when he visiteth? What am I going to answer him?
Thanks so much for listening to this broadcast of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. I hope you'll take a few moments to write us a letter and let us know that you listened to the program. And if you can, send a gift so we can stay on your radio station. You can write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Or you can go to our website, lomanministries.org, and give through the Venmo or the PayPal tab. If you're looking for a church home, I know you would be welcome in any of the following churches: in the state of Illinois, Faith Chapel, Carrier Mills; in the state of Kentucky, the churches of the Kentucky Mountain Holiness Association in Eastern Kentucky; in the state of North Carolina, Charity Baptist Church in High Point, Friendship Baptist Church in Willow Springs, Mount Gilead Methodist Church in Trinity, and Trinity Church in Salisbury; in the state of Ohio, Trinity United Brethren Church in Fostoria; and here in Columbus, Indiana, where this program is produced, Bethel Wesleyan Church, Columbus Free Methodist Church, and Flintwood Wesleyan Church. Till this same time next week, don't forget, my friend, I'm still praying for you.